Well, welcome back now to the official open line portion of the program for the next couple hours here for you. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of the show. Hey, by the way, what do you do with someone if you're on the freeway and they are 5 inches from your back bumper and they just won't back off? Some people have told me, just slam your foot on the brakes. They're responsible for it. They'll hit you. No, I don't want to do that. But man, some of these drivers out here are crazy. To the phones we go. Paul in Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Paul, go for it.
Well, thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to say two things. First thing is this debate tonight. Well, boy, Trump said he didn't go after Hillary. And because he didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And boy, that wasn't a slap in the face to people who supported him, because it's like that song, you picked a fine time to leave me.
I think October 9th is going to be a little different. Watch.
Yeah, I hope so. But and just real quick, George, give me like maybe 20 seconds. I just want to give a shout out to some people.
Sure.
Marissa, Ashley, Maisha, Maria, Carrie, Tammy, Mario, Stuart, Notch, Victor, Enrique, Victor the Boss, Andoro, I got Miguel and Jose, Tavares and Vanessa, Vonnie, and I got Lakia, Ashley, Tabitha, and I got Alvarado, Paula, and
who are these people?
These are the people I work with, George.
Ah.
I know as far as Marissa, Ashley, and Maisha go, if the doctor asked me if you had 6 months to live, where would you like to spend it? I'd say with them, because it seemed like an eternity.
Well, that's great when you have that kind of working rapport. Let me tell you, that's worth it.
They're really great people, George. And all those UFO pictures, a couple of those I don't think were T-Mobile wiped me out of those UFO pictures. the guy asked me if the SD card was the memory card. He said, yeah. So
really?
Next thing I knew, it was all gone. But the ones I texted to friends and family, I still got some of them, and I'm trying to go through them now.
Save them. They're priceless.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, I'm gonna try to send them back to that your email again when I sort them out.
All right.
Oh, thanks, George. You have a great night. George Norrie for president.
Well, maybe a little late for that now. Of course, you never know. A little late. We'd have to have some people to come up with some great fundraising drives, Tommy, wouldn't we, on something like that? Let us go next to Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm fine.
A couple weeks ago, I tried calling, but I didn't get through. You guys are talking about the robots on the battlefield, but then 2 minutes ago, we had a caller talking about UFOs, and that made me remember something that happened a few years back. Back in the summer of 1998, it was about midnight. I was with a co-worker, and me and her decided not to go to an after-hours party from work, and we're up by a lake about 7 miles from where I live, and there's airplanes and stuff because the Duluth Airport isn't that far away.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's not a big airport, but it's a busy little airport.
Yeah, but anyways, back to the story here, seen this lake go over and stuff, and we thought it was an airplane, and east side of the lake, there's where all the hoses are. You could see it going in that direction, when all of a sudden it seemed like it was coming back, and I thought, well, maybe it's a helicopter and stuff, and we're just sitting there talking, you could see it moving real slow, and all of a sudden we realized, before we knew it, it was right over the bay next to us, probably about 200 yards away.
Jeez, you could see the texture of the thing.
Yes, that's not the crazy part. We got out of there right away, and about a half mile down the road, I'd say, you start to come up over a hill. As soon as we got to the top of the hill, this thing lit up over the top of my truck about 10 feet above us, where you could see the perfect shape of this thing.
Wow.
And it was kind of like a squared-off triangular shape.
And was it blinking or anything like that?
Yes, there was lights around the sides, and they'd be moving like a right-to-left direction. And then underneath, it was like three strobe lights spinning in the opposite direction.
Would you say that you're convinced it wasn't made on this planet?
Not the way that shape of it looked and stuff, no. But the question was, a few years later, I was fishing with some friends about a mile from where my house is on the St. Louis River.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen another one, but that one wasn't moving slow. That one was
zipping along.
Of, zipping along, moving different directions and different angles, like up and down and sideways. And then over a couple of years, seen a couple more, but the question is it consistent with them to be over water?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, sometimes we think they need water for part of their energy propulsion system. Somehow, and they're doing that a lot. And maybe they're drinking it. It's lake water. Maybe they have a way of filtration. You never know. Tom, what do you have for us in text or tweets and all those things?
All those things. This one is a text. It's from Jason in New Jersey. Do you think Donald Trump tried too hard last night to not be hard on Hillary, and do you think she is in for a peck of trouble in the next debate?
I think the gloves will be off on the next one.
I agree.
I do. I think this is my guess. I think his advisors said to him, look, don't wallow around in this stuff. Not this time. Be presidential. You know, be respectful of who she is. And she's the one who took the jabs. I think the gloves are coming off.
You think she's worried? You think she's worried about that?
Well, let me tell you what's so interesting about all of this. In spite of the polishedness of the debate, look, I've been in television for years, Tom. I know when I see someone that looks good and looks doesn't and things like that. This was the most polished I've seen her look in a long time.
I agree with you.
In a long time.
Yes.
This was the most ravaged look of him I've seen in a long time. So despite all of that, I think he still came out on top.
Yeah.
With people who think that he was the one who won this one.
I think he was surprised that she was so, I guess, ready for it.
Oh, she was ready. She was ready. But the next time, what's going to happen, and, you know, we're going to be live on election night for 5 hours, because I think it's going to go on for a long time, especially with these West Coast states that close later than, you know, time-wise. I think it's going to be a long night, and I think it's entirely possible that they will not get enough electoral votes, and this is going to have to be decided by Congress. It's weird.
Maybe.
I've never seen anything like this
before. Isn't it exciting, though?
It's exciting on one hand, but at the other hand, you know, we have the fate of our country at stake. I mean, the former Israeli Prime Minister and President Shimon Peres died today. That guy was a leader for Israel, okay? He was a leader for Israel. And that's what we need in this country. We need to build respect again as a nation. And, you know, I keep thinking of my dad who was in World War II, God rest his soul, and all these great Americans during that era who truly fought for the right thing.
For the country, for the people.
We were bombed at Pearl Harbor. Hitler had to go. It was a war on principle. And we had Americans who just did whatever they had to do for this country. I mean, when you look back at what's that movie you like with Russell Crowe, the boxing movie?
Oh, Cinderella Man?
Cinderella Man, that's right.
That time, yeah.
That era, you know, they were, you know, in trouble financially. But Americans worked together. They did whatever they had to do to make this country survive and to grow and to flourish. That great nation we have, we need to get that back again. And this has been a campaign of bickering. I mean, it's disappointing for me.
I think the next debate is really going to tell a lot. Don't you?
Sadly, no.
No?
I think the next debate is not going to be a debate on solid issues. I think they're going to come at each other with sharp fangs.
But if it is somewhat on solid issues and Trump holds his own, I think it's going to give him a shot.
Well, he's got his shot. He's, you know,
no, I mean a shot been, like he's getting like a boost.
Well, I think he's ahead right now, believe it or not. You know, in terms of the voters, they want change.
Yeah, no, people do. You're right.
All right, next up, let's go to Ellen in Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Ellen, hi there.
Hi, thank you for taking
sure
my call
thing.
Again.
Very welcome.
I'm calling back. When I called last week, you were discussing the birds and the near death, and then about the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told Tom, she didn't connect it together, but we were already disconnected.
All right.
So I would like to kind of re-go over this. And I've got some things here that really will not exactly blow your mind, but...
Oh, go ahead.
But the other thing, I'm so excited. You said you're coming to New Orleans.
I'm coming there in October at a JFK event. It's up on our website under our events calendar. And it's an Oswald conference, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've been in New Orleans a number of times with the Navy and one time for fun, but this I'm looking forward to.
Okay, because I have a daughter there, and I can easily get there very
well. Good, come on by.
I'd love to give you this book. Okay, let's just start.
All right.
I was a teenager with my future husband, and we were in a 57 car, and a flock of birds hit us. We shouldn't have been there, but that was near Edna, Texas.
They just came flying out at you.
Right.
Splat.
They were in the middle of the road. And so we were, you know, we had to try to get back to our home without parents knowing what had happened or anything.
How old were you?
16.
All right. 16.
So, okay, the next, we're married. We're farming and ranching. My husband's working at NASA. And these two men pulled a gun at me when I was looking at this pasture for rent. So I was able to get out of that. But, boy, that was one of the closest times.
Well, no, wait a minute. You were looking at a pasture to rent, right?
Yes.
For your animals, or were you going to?
Well, for our herd of cattle.
Okay. And who pulled a gun out on you?
Two guys that I knew from the auction barn where cattle were sold.
They pulled a gun out on you because you were looking at the pasture? What happened?
No, I just think they were trying to frighten me.
Were they with you looking at the pasture?
I mean, not in my vehicle. I was in my own vehicle.
All right,
they
but I mean,
theirs.
But you did they pull the gun out driving next to you, or were you all out of your cars?
They were saying, oh, we better take a gun out. You know, there's snakes all around here and everything.
Okay.
So I didn't think anything of it.
No, so you're
and
all walking.
I said, may I see the gun? And I took the gun and held it because I just wanted to feel safe and had the upper hand.
Did you think they were going to shoot you?
I didn't know what they were going to do.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so that was to the near death. Okay, now the third one is we go back to our hometown, and there is a, she's chairman of our reunion. So we all are decorating and talking and everything, and she says, well, I have to go back and see my friend. I'll get dressed and wash up there. And I said, what do you mean, wash up? She says, well, all she has is a pipe coming out of the ground with a faucet at the end of it, and we have to get water in there. And I thought, gosh, that hasn't been since 1920s where people just had a pipe coming up. So things got busy, and we had the reunion, and she mentioned that there was a book being written about her friend. So I said, well, who is your friend? And she said, Candy Bar. Does that ring a bell with you?
Candy Bar?
Candy Bar?
No.
One of the most famous strippers in America?
No.
JFK's time? And the
how would I know that, Ellen?
I thought it was in the papers.
Candy Bar. Oh.
Okay.
The only candy bar I know is a Baby Ruth candy bar.
Candy, okay. Well, this woman's name was Candy Bar. She was very famous in Las Vegas, in Houston, and in New Orleans.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so that ties you into New Orleans. She knew quite a few people there.
She was like a burlesque dancer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What we just call strippers here, but she was like high class.
Well, they kept their clothes on, didn't they?
No.
Oh, okay. But they wore these big flowery things and feathers in their hair and stuff like that, right?
Well, I don't know. I know they wore tassels on their breasts.
Oh.
So that was about the gist of it. But here, I'm going to quote from the back of this book, because my friend...
This is the book you want to give me in New Orleans, right?
Yes, this book that I want to give you in New Orleans.
Are there pictures of candy bars?
My friend had all the rights to anything about her life. And this gentleman wrote a book. It's very interesting. And here are some quotes from the back of it. Candy bar takes secrets of JFK assassination conspiracy to the grave with her.
Wow.
Chicago Tribune headline, January 23rd, 2006.
So she's dead.
Yes, She is passed on. Our chief counsel, and so has my friend. So I imagine if you'd ever like to have this gentleman, author George Day, bring the book to you, and that could be, that's your decision. This is another one here. Our chief counsel asked if you were willing to come to Washington to talk to the House Select Committee about the assassination of President Kennedy. This is from Jack Zack in telephone call to Candy Bar, October 1977.
And what did she say?
It doesn't give her back.
Think she testified.
I don't think she did either. And then here's another one. You seem to be a rare human being, and I feel that the story of your life can enrich the lives of others. Your past is a remarkable story of human experience, endurance, and personal courage. Jack Jones, Hollywood scriptwriter, Walt Disney Productions, 1980. So just, kind of give you a idea. I think of you often and fondly. Hugh Hefner in Letter to Candy Bar, 1984.
Huh.
And
this is all documented in this book you want to give me.
Yes, uh-huh.
All right.
That's right.
I'll take it. We'll study it. I'll read it. And you're sure the author's still alive, right?
Now, I don't know about the author.
Ah.
I know that Candy Bar has passed on and my friend has passed on. I guess a person could try to reach this George Day and find out.
Well, we'll find it. You see, what you do is you call the publisher first, and the publisher knows how to get a hold of the author, and that's how that starts. Hey, we're going to take a break and come back, but definitely, Ellen, go to our website and look at all the information on the Oswald event in New Orleans, because it's going to be a great, great weekend there. And I look forward to meeting you and all the other Coast to Coast listeners as well. I'm going to come back in just a moment. We've got more open lines, and we've got open lines for you next hour as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, you may like us on Facebook. If you would, follow us on Twitter. And welcome back to the open line portion of the program. We'll do it again next hour as well. Tomorrow we've got a great series of shows for you. And also Thursday and Friday, they just keep coming. Let's go to Moses in Tallahassee, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hi, Moses.
How you doing, Brother Joe?
Good, my friend. How have you been?
Oh, man, I'm just hanging in there. Just listening to the program and just enjoying it. And just wanted to share a little bit.
Okay.
Again, my thing is still on the letter J didn't come to the English alphabet until the 13th, 14th century. So there wasn't no letter J in Aramaic, Hebrew, Arabic, Greek, or Roman. So, again, there could be no Jehovah, and especially no Jesus. But he was prophesied to be called an El, a holy name of the elevated one, the Elohim, Emmanuel. Yahshua means, Yah means good. He came to give good news of how to tap into your higher self, or your higher states of consciousness. He said, these things you can do in greater work. So, again, we like to say about this election, I'm at the point None of the above. I mean, you know, run under Caesar for the Caesars and run under God. I'm tapping out. I'm going spiritual. I'm letting, you know, because this is a crock of mess that's going on in this world in the day and time that we're in.
It's strange, isn't it? Do you think we're in the apocalypse, by the way, Moses?
Well, it's close. It's close. We have been kind of, again, my understanding, again, this is what I have been led to understand, is to share. Again, the devil and devil definitely come from Greek mythology. It wasn't just one council of Nicaea. It was over 21 councils to take this knowledge of, us learning how to raise to our higher self to make us, I guess, have us to worship an individual. Again, he said, these things you can do in greater works, you know, I'm no different from you. You just don't know these higher sciences. You know, his disciples say, why you teach us the mysteries of the kingdom of God and teach the multitude and parables? You know, because he was made a high priest after this order of Melchizedek order. Melchi, dark energy. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It only changes forms. They thought that this Melchizedek person had no mother, no father, no beginning, no ending. He was teaching the science of from dark energy came, let there be light, whether you want to call it Big Bang or whatever, let there be the universe, you know, and all the, what we call matter, the physical plane, you know.
And so, you know your Bible.
Well, I know the combination.
You know. Okay, thanks, Moses. Always good to hear from you. Let's go to Aaron in New Orleans, where I'll be next month. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, George. Thanks a lot. I wanted to tell you a story about my case and how it ties in with Jim Garrison.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, sir. I wanted to just make a quick comment about the election first. I think that this election boils down to one simple thing, and it's going to be the globalists versus the nationalists. And that's it.
And then whoever wins, it's going to be an interesting take then.
Exactly, right. But my story is, back in 2014, I was charged with a crime that really wasn't under some old law that's really no longer in effect. It was called criminal defamation. And criminal defamation is a state law that we have here that was ruled to be unconstitutional back in the early 70s. And basically what had happened was I had written a series of letters about a local judge and some members of his family after they were named in these newspaper articles for having some questionable and, in some cases, some illegal dealings involving public money.
Okay.
One of the family members went to the police, who went to the district attorney and obtained an arrest warrant accusing me of criminal defamation. And
jeez.
I had to post a bond of $25,000.
I've never heard of this.
It gets better. So this law basically says if you say something negative about someone to a third party, and even if it's true or if it's not true, you can be charged under this law. But the funny part is it's never used unless the person is a judge or someone with a lot of influence,
right.
Maybe a city council person.
Who wants to shut you up, right?
Exactly, right. See, here in our state, the judges are elected. They're not appointed. So judges have to go before an election, and during that election, you know, people could say their experiences that they had with the judge or whatever they came
right,
with.
Or what's this thing I just read, that kind of thing.
Exactly, right. So what wound up happening was I was charged under this law. It's 1447 in our state code. Under 8 months, I had to go back and forth to your court under this law. And so the way that it ended was a local an attorney that worked for a local newspaper contacted the district attorney's office and said that, you know, they wanted to write a story about this case because it's never happened in so many years.
Yeah.
And mysteriously, right after that, the district attorney dropped the charge. Well,
which is good for you.
Which is good for me. And the funny part is the case that ruled the law unconstitutional was the state of Louisiana versus Jim Garrison. He was charged and actually found guilty under this law back in the 60s when he criticized seven judges in Orleans Parish, which is basically the city of New Orleans. And he took the case all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, where it was ruled that that portion of the law that dealt with public servants, if you will, elected parties, could not be used in a criminal case.
Wow.
So the case that saved me was Jim Garrison.
Good old Jim.
Right, Jim Garrison's case. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how that was the case. And I think that was actually the last time in Orleans Parish somebody was charged under that crime.
Whatever happened to free speech? I mean, if you were wrong and if you defamed them, let them take you to court and sue you. But you shouldn't have to be arrested for that.
Well, right. Well, what happened was I actually, the police contacted me and I turned myself in voluntarily. And, you know, and it made the newspapers and, you know, it was just a big fiasco over nothing. But it just shows you the level. You see, unfortunately, here in New Orleans, it is a historically corrupt city government. You know, we have our former mayor in Orleans from New Orleans is in federal prison. Our former mayor is. Along with, you know, there are police officers in federal prison. We've had city council people go to prison. We've had school board members go to prison.
That's amazing. Too bad I don't have a certain website doing it in New Orleans. I'd have them all arrested.
Well, you know, that was actually a story not too long ago that in another parish, you know, most states have counties, we have parishes. So in a neighboring parish, they had a police officer was actually, he had his home searched and his laptop seized under the same state law.
Same law. Unbelievable.
Yes, sir. So it's amazing.
Archaic.
It is.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Another text or tweet. What do you got, Tommy, back
there? Wow, that was a rough one.
Wow.
Poor guy. Hey, I want to read you something before we go to this text.
Yeah.
This is an email that came in. George, thank you for your stance on language on Coast to Coast. My 11-year-old son, Joshua, insists that his radio is tuned into Coast to Coast when he goes to bed. He listens before he goes to sleep, and I appreciate not worrying about foul language. Thanks, Brian.
That's cool.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, that's one of the reasons we do what we do.
Sure. Sure. So we have a text from Samantha in Lynchburg, Virginia.
All right.
I'm 18 years old, and I always hear people say that our vote doesn't matter. Can you explain why they say that?
Some people feel that your vote doesn't matter because you're just one person. But I think your vote does matter because you are expressing your own views, and that's the most important thing. It's not who you vote for. It's who you vote for yourself, because that's what it's all about. And who knows? One day a candidate may end up winning or losing by one vote. And it would be you that makes that big decision.
You never know.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Let's go next to Ricky in San Diego, California, west of the Rockies. Thanks for holding, Ricky.
Hey, George. Thanks for answering my call.
Sure thing.
Awesome. I just wanted to share an experience that I had about 2 years ago in the Sequoia National Forest.
Okay. That sounds spooky.
It was, I tell you. My sister took my friend and I out there, and we were deep, deep in this forest. Far away from civilization, and we were having a great time. I'm a believer in the paranormal, Bigfoot, aliens, and all that good stuff. But while I was there, I never had that thought. You know, I was there camping with my family, having a great time. And about 9 o'clock, everyone decided to go to sleep, and my friend and I were left staying at the bonfire, and I decided that it was a good time to listen to music. So I went to my sister's 4Runner, and I was opening the back to grab my iPod. And as I opened the back door, I heard something come out of the tree. It didn't come out of the tree. It's almost like as if it was holding on and it fell. And I heard this huge thump. I could feel it. And as I had a flashlight with me, I looked over at the tree that I heard it fall from. And I swore on my life, and I swear to God, honest to God, that I saw a 6 to 7 foot tall praying mantis. And as I laid eyes on it, I completely lost breath. I was completely taken aback, and it took a step back, and it completely became invisible.
Wow.
And I could not believe what I saw. I slammed the door, and I ran back to the campfire. I alerted my friend. I woke everyone up, and no one believed me. I was really upset because I knew
what I mean, it reminds me of that creature coming out of the spaceship at Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that movie. Remember that? That scene?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a great movie.
That's great.
So anyway, so that had happened, and my friend didn't believe me. He was laughing at me. And then all of a sudden, I can hear all these things surrounding us. And finally, when I brought it to my friend's attention, he kind of put his ear to it, and he heard it too. And finally, sorry, I'm really nervous. I was patrolling the campground with my flashlight.
Yeah.
And I could just hear these things surrounding us, and I heard this, like, clicking sound. It was like, it was really strange.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was. Sorry, I'm really nervous. Oh, hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Pictures next time.
Oh, I was so scared to do
that. That would have been great. Hey, by the way, it's a little premature right now because executive producer Tom has not released any of this, but I want to throw this out. Sometime next year, it looks like we are going to have a live event in Las Vegas. It's not set in stone yet, but it looks like we're going to. Now, I love these live stage shows. We've had them in St. Louis, in Toronto, in Vancouver, in Boise, in Asheville. I love them. Las Vegas is different because this is what I'm gonna tell Tom to try to do. Whenever we get the date set, and it's going to be next year, it's 2017, I want as many of our listeners in Las Vegas that listen to this program to come out to this event. Cab drivers, security people, those of you just at home listening, police officers, I want you at this live event. But this is where it's going to be different. This is Las Vegas. It's time for you to have a little weekend fun for yourself. So no matter where you are in the country, I want you to show up for this event. Wherever you might be. L.A., Boston, Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Wichita, Alexandria, Alabama, any place. Come on into Vegas for the weekend and go to our event. And we'll really have a great time. I'm going to ask Tom to do something a little different this year. Normally, we just do the meet and greet afterwards where I stay in line until the last person leaves. What I'd like to do is to have some kind of party in Vegas after the event, wherever that venue may be, and really have a great time. That's something we need to do. So anyways, think about that. It's going to happen. Give yourself a reward, a little weekend in Las Vegas. It'll happen sometime next year. May happen, I think, in October. No dates have been set yet, but that would be a special, special event. Let's go back to the phones. Annie in Alabama, holding there. Hello, Annie.
Hey, George.
How are you? You coming out to Las Vegas? You'll be there.
My sister was born there.
Was she really?
Yes, I know. I remember the tumbleweeds and the cactuses and all. And you were asking what you can do about people that ride your tail on the freeway.
Right there.
I have over 100 inventions, and several years ago, I was a victim of identity theft. I don't have any money to develop any of those or get a patent or anything. But I'll tell you what some of them are. You can mount this device on your bumper with a light so bright that it'll make them very uncomfortable if they don't stay out of your space.
Really? Even daytime?
Yeah, even in daytime. The police have got a light so bright that it'll blind you.
Wow. Of course, you don't want to cause an accident, do you?
Well, they'll have to avoid that then, won't they?
How about invent a horn that is so obnoxiously loud and it's beamed right at that person?
How about some projectiles like the law says that if you drive a 15-foot vehicle 15 miles an hour, 75 feet behind you is your space. If anybody comes in it, put something on the back of your car that'll break their windshield.
Oh, no. You don't want to do that, Annie.
Well, they'll just have to stay out of your space.
Break. How about something that dumps nails on the fruit? Now, see, you don't want to do stuff like that.
Well, you need to make sure.
Oh, Annie, how about this? Invent a missile that opens up, comes out of the trunk, and just goes right at them.
You can invent. It's endless. Wasn't I wrote a book about it, a science fiction book, a comedy about how people got it 101 ways on the freeway because they were in your space. would you let me on the air with my book?
Well, I don't see how I cannot put you on the air. You always get on. You mean like as a guest?
Yes, to sell my book. A science fiction comedy. Yeah, 101 ways somebody got it by getting in your space.
It's got to be a bona fide book, though.
It's a book for sale. I've got other books I'm writing.
Strictly how to keep people from tailgating you.
Yes, and I've got some other books I'm writing about.
Would you take phone calls with people?
Yes, I would.
All right, that's got a possibility.
A book about my birds.
You have a book about birds?
A book about a bird that came here, Rufus. He's a towhee. And
why'd you write a book about him?
Well, there's something about this bird that's just supernatural, because when my mother died, she died and left me a mirror, and that mirror was on my back patio for several years, and I heard a peck, peck, peck right under my window, and here's this bird, and this bird has just become the love of my life, and he's so intelligent, and he's so smart.
He's still around?
Yes, he likes to interact with me. This is 3 years he's been here.
Is he in the wild, or did you catch him?
No, I don't catch birds. I have a bird sanctuary where birds are free. I feed them.
Good for you, Annie. You surprise me every day with something very generous. That's very good of you. Okay, we're going to come back again. Another final hour to go of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.